You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Hope you had a great weekend. It is the Gym Class coming your way from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Welcome aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash joined soon by Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, our producer. And you, our listener, the most important component of the equation. Thank you for tuning in here today on 1600 ESPN, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Got a great show coming up for you. We'll take a look at the weekend, a busy one. Got wild card football, which continues tonight with the Vikings and the LA Rams from the Valley of the Sun. We'll talk about that. Men's and women's basketball as well. And then special guest Tim Johnson will join us in the back half of the program here today and find out what is going on in the world, his world of college wrestling, and big news because we got local wrestling back, which is great to have. I know Isaac's very happy about that. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That's the phone line and the text line. Again, 319-366-1600. And Mark Dukes, good afternoon. How goes it?
Going great, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And, yeah, it was a lot going on since we last left you, including that national championship semifinal between Ohio State and Texas, and certainly the wild card games and some interesting hoops action.
Interesting hoops action, indeed. Isaac, hello.
Hello. I don't want to burst Cyclone Tim's bubble here, but Viking ships did not actually look like that. If you look on the text line, he sent a photo to us. That's not what Viking ships looked like. They had there was a lot more oars in Viking ships, but I get the sentiment nonetheless.
Cyclone Tim is hunkered down and ready to go for his Vikings tonight, and we will join up with that game. We've got the Cyclone Coaches Show from 6:30 until 8. Then we'll join up with the wild card game, the final one from Glendale, Arizona, as it'll be the Minnesota Vikings taking on the LA Rams this evening. And the let's see, that's the 4-5. We know it's going to be Washington at Detroit, so the winner of this one will go to the City of Brotherly Love to take on the Philadelphia Eagles. We know about the AFC. It'll be Kansas City and Houston and Buffalo and Baltimore, which should be an outstanding game from Buffalo. And good football over the weekend, certainly. Mark, you mentioned the national championship semifinal game. Ohio State and Notre Dame will meet in the championship a week from tonight. We'll have that game for you here on 1600 ESPN. It was a very interesting night last Friday night with that particular ball game. Big plays helped out the Ohio State Buckeyes to the national championship game.
Yeah, Jack Sawyer can join the Bears at any time. That's my opinion. But I'm still trying to figure out Steve Sarkisian's decision, play-calling decision, on the one-yard line. Obviously, if it works, you know, that whole thing. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you're open to criticism. And Sarkisian open to a lot of criticism, taking the ball wide. And Sawyer, the next play, I think it was, knocked the ball loose and went the other direction for pretty much the clinching touchdown. But that was a game that was closer than the final score might indicate. You know, in the NFL this weekend, the save for the Washington game last night, a bunch of double-digit blowouts too.
Yeah, Washington-Tampa was certainly a keeper. Philadelphia, Green Bay was there. Philadelphia kind of was just playing with their food a little bit, I thought, in the game. Nothing against the Packers or anything like that. But I think that even Packer fans would agree with me, guys, that they had opportunities to blow that game open. And to Green Bay's credit, they kept it close. Denver scored early, and then it was, as one person on Twitter put it, it was much like the Iowa Orange Bowl game against USC back in the day. Hey, opening kickoff is run back. This is going to be a great day. And then, no, not so much a great day. So some interesting games over the weekend in the National Football League, and we've got some very good divisional matchups coming up this next weekend. And Jayden Daniels, tell you what, he can get it done. He is a terrific quarterback. I take my hat off to Baker Mayfield. I mean, that guy left everything on the field for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over the weekend. I mean, just sacrificing his body, basically throwing himself to try to get first downs. Yeah, that was great to see, but a little bit too much Washington in the end of that one.
Yeah, Daniels has had a heck of a year. He's going to be rookie of the year in the NFC. But, you know, is that going to work against Detroit next Saturday? I don't know. Detroit's a prohibitive favorite. It was a great win to go into Tampa Bay and get that victory. And, you know, I was disappointed in the Chargers. I thought they just looked horrible. Under Jim Harbaugh, I thought that they would do a better job, but the Texans kind of blew them out. And, you know, Buffalo did what Buffalo does, and the Packers – yeah, you're right. They were in the game, but, you know, the narrative after the game, and how long are Packer fans going to be able to hang on to this? They're like Cub fans. Wait till next year. I mean, really, I mean, last year, Packers were the youngest, if not the youngest team in the league. Wait till next year. Well, this year, they're one of the youngest teams in the league, if not the youngest. Wait till next year. And with apologies to Spencer and Todd, my friends that are Packer fans, maybe next year, a third time will be the charm. I don't know.
We'll wait and see. You're smiling, Isaac.
I don't know. It's hard to always say maybe next year, but I went into this playoffs thinking that the Packers just didn't have it. It felt like last year they were kind of peaking at the right time. This year you kind of felt the peak coming, and then they really hit a lull at the end of the year there. So I went into this playoffs thinking it felt one and done. It didn't feel like all year long Love really ever got into a rhythm playing, whether that was the injuries, whether that was the like him being injured, being taken in and out of the lineup, or whatever it may be. It just felt like he never really got it going. So I understand why you might say maybe next year for this particular squad, just because it just never felt like going into the playoffs the Packers ever really had it going.
Yeah. Packer fan Greg in Epworth, Mark, says they were the youngest team in the league last year and even younger this year. So.
Great.
Is that your Beardum coming out?
No. In fact, truth be known, I was rooting for the Packers against the Eagles. I really was. I wanted to see the Packers come through. And the Packers had injuries, so did everybody. They had some really tough ones. Jordan Love didn't have his best game. You know, maybe next year will be the year. I don't know.
25-37 says the Pack need veteran receivers, something haven't had in the last 5 or 6 years. We've had the most drops consistently for the last 2 years. Oh, no, 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 my friend. Oh, no, no, no. Maybe this year. Trust me. I know. The 2023 season, no team had more drops than the Kansas City Chiefs. Ask Patrick Mahomes about that. Still worked out, though.
At some point, the Packers do need to actually invest in weapons. Like, they got Josh Jacobs, which was
a great... And Watson being out yesterday didn't help.
Yeah, I've talked about how Watson completely changes how the offense plays, because they basically have no deep threat outside of Watson. And you saw it on that first Love interception, I thought, where that's a play that would be to Watson, and there just wasn't enough separation there. And so Slay intercepted the ball there, where I think if that was Watson, there would have been a little bit more separation. So it just, at some point, the Packers do need to actually invest in the wide receiver and get someone that's, you know, guaranteed catches sort of thing.
True. 319-366-1600. That's the football story out there. And again, we'll join up at about 8 o'clock with the Vikings and the Rams and see what happens in Glendale. I think it's going to be a pro-Viking crowd tonight. Maybe folks from L.A. I mean, let's face it. Folks in L.A. have a lot more things to worry about at this present time than the football game. It might be a diversion for several hours, but I don't know. Are the Rams' heads going to be in it with what is happening in Los Angeles? There are just a lot of questions, periphery questions out there. No one is beating Detroit anyway, says Cyclone Tim. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
It's not outlandish at all.
Not outlandish. Can Washington go in there and take them down? We shall see. 319-366-1600. College basketball. Iowa State moves up a spot to number 2 in the nation in the men's AP basketball poll. I think with an asterisk next to it because Auburn remains number 1, but they are going to be without Jani Broom for a while. Severely sprained ankle. Auburn and Bruce Pearl have said he is going to be out at least the next 2 games, if not more. They've got tough ones. I know Mississippi State is in there with former Kirkwood head coach Doug Wagamaster as one of the assistants for the Bulldogs. So that's not going to be easy road to hoe. Now, Iowa State has Kansas, the showdown on Wednesday night at Hilton Coliseum. And yes, students already camping out, even though classes are not in session yet in Ames. They've already started to camp out. The tradition continues over there outside Hilton Coliseum. Iowa State, was it a pretty win against Texas Tech? Absolutely not. Iowa State led by, what, a minute? Led for a minute, 39 seconds, Mark, or something like that. But, hey, they hung around and hung around, got a big hoop when they needed it, and Texas Tech missed a 10-footer at the end.
That was really a slugfest, Scott. I enjoyed every minute of it. Josh Jefferson's basket on an assist from Taman Lipsy sent it into overtime, and then Jefferson made some big free throws in overtime. But as Kevin Lehman has talked about many times, this Iowa State team has several ways to beat you, and I don't know that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to go to Lubbock and win. Texas Tech is a scary, pretty good team. Not great, but really good in a tough home environment.
And winning in that environment was a feather in the cap for the Iowa State Cyclones. They remain a solid number 1 seed in all the bracketology out there, whether you are with Joe Lunardi, whether you're with our friend Mike DeCourcy, whether you're with Jerry Palm out there. What is being debated at this present time is where the Iowa Hawkeye men's basketball team is. And I know Lunardi still has them as first 4 out, even after the big win against Indiana on Saturday night at Carver Hawkeye. Indiana kind of fell out of favor after that. I know Jerry Palm has them out. He does not have Iowa listed anywhere, either last four in or first four out. Long way to go. That's the bottom line. Looking back at Saturday night, though, at Carver, first of all, bigger crowd. No, it was not a sellout, but I did not see what the final attendance figure was, but just eyeballing it myself, I would have said about 9,000-10,000 there for a Saturday night game. Not too bad. No, it's not the way it used to be there, but hey, it's an improvement. And Iowa gave them a show. Hawks played very, very well. Peyton Sanford, who you will have more news on, I'm sure, Mark, and the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard in a little bit, had a terrific second half. We can get Peyton Sanford, Hawkeye fans, to have 40 good minutes instead of 20 good minutes. I think they got something. Josh Dix is really, really helping out. And Drew Thelwell was maybe the pickup of the year so far. You can make an argument, one of the best pickups in the transfer portal in the Big Ten Conference.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of the principals that were involved in this victory. And I thought Owen Freeman maybe played his best game. 16, 12, and 4 blocks. but it was really maybe Iowa's best game of the year.
One of them.
85-60. They out-rebounded somebody. It's now second half Sanford, right? Is that what we call
it? Apparently it's second half Sanford.
Yeah, he is the Big Ten co-player of the week for that 21 of his 23 points in the second half. Really got out on the fast break, outscored Indiana 26-2 in fast break points. Stelwell was great defensively. And really, you know, the defense really on Omar Ballo, the big guy in the middle for Indiana, he only had 10 points. I mean, hands were everywhere. Hawkeyes were moving. And I think they got that message from Mr. McGee at Wisconsin after that blowout loss.
I was just going to say, perhaps the best thing to ever happen to the Iowa men's basketball team this year was McGee and that particular statement after the game about Iowa's defense, because seemingly Iowa has taken umbrage with that and has tried to actually improve the defense, and it is working. That giving up only 60 the other night. Now, Indiana was without one of their best players, did not play particularly well, but I think Iowa had a lot to do with that. Owen Freeman stayed out of foul trouble. He was very good in the interior. Peyton Sanford, while guarding bigger guys, had some very good moments as well. And they're just better defensively in the backcourt when Thelwell is in there along with Dix. So maybe that was what maybe that shot is what Iowa needed.
It could be. I'm a little concerned about Iowa's depth right now with Cooper Koch being out again on this West Coast trip, maybe not available for a while. And Seydou Traore played a few minutes, but not many. It was basically seven guys, maybe a little, you know, you could say eight. But it wasn't a deep bench. And over the course of time, the rigors of the Big Ten – going on the road, you know, players playing 35 minutes a game, it could take its toll. But for right now, Kevin Lehman's ex-girlfriend comes through.
Yes, Iowa is pretty, at least for one night. 319-366-1600. And Greg, yeah, I agree with you. Tanji from Wisconsin, very good transfer pickup. I did say Thelwell was one of them. One of them. And there are about five that have made a significant impact on Big Ten teams this year. But I think you got to put Thelwell into that category along with others. Cyclone Tim, do not worry about the polls. All that matters is March Madness and where the bracketology hangs out. Because Duke, Florida all received first-place votes, but not Iowa State. The disrespect is real. I don't think anyone's disrespecting the Iowa State men's basketball team, Mark.
It's hard to say that when you're number two in the country, but these polls change every week. And maybe not at the top, but they very well could with Auburn and the unfortunate injury to their best player. But I don't think anybody in the country disrespects Iowa State. Or shouldn't.
They better not, or they're going to get beat by Iowa State coming in there. And yes, 27-23, the zone did help Iowa in that game as well, because Indiana couldn't shoot it real well.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Hoosiers just did not – they just didn't look like an Indiana team of old. And there are a lot of people that are on Mike Woodson over – in Hoosier country right now, because they don't like being on the bubble over there. They like to be solidly in the conversation for the NCAAs and the Big Ten championship. And he's got a lot of talent on that Indiana team. And they just, at times, kind of looked lost on Saturday night. 319-366-1600 as we come your way on a Monday edition of the Gym Class. A lot of... And we talked about this, Mark, after with the Iowa women's basketball team before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here. Iowa losing to Indiana at home. Hawks now two games under 500 in the Big Ten. We talked about the fact that it was going to be a much different situation after Caitlin Clark and after Lisa Bluter, and they're going through a little bit of growing pains right now with some youngsters. They're trying to figure out, Jensen anyway, what that rotation should be, who should get more minutes, who maybe should get less minutes. And after the loss yesterday, Indiana, a good team, played very well, as a matter of fact. But there was a lot of hand wringing going on Sunday night on all the socials.
It's just a little better than an average team right now. Maybe it will get better throughout the year. But the thing that stuck out to me in that game against Indiana, yes, it was another nice little comeback. But the defense against the three-point shot, was not the greatest. You got to give Indiana credit for that. More than anything else, at the end of the game, who's on the bench? Affolter, O'Grady, and Lucy Olson. I mean, when the game's on the line, Iowa was in within, what, 3-4 points? And those players are on the bench. Supposedly, your leaders, two of them left over from Final Four teams, and the other one a prize transfer. And, I wondered about that.
It's still a good basketball team. This is not the land of milk and honey anymore with number 22. She doesn't come around very often. As we've said before, there's not that magic button to push saying, okay, Caitlin, time to take over and get a few buckets, get us back the lead, and win this basketball game. It's not there this year. It's more of a team effort, and you've got a lot of youngsters. Some people saying that the freshmen should play a little bit more. Some people saying, why are the freshmen playing as much as they are? And I think above all else, that is what Jan Jensen and her staff are probably trying to figure out right now, is playing time. And do they go with the hot hand during the game? I don't know. But seemingly that this rotation question comes up every game, and so far it's been frustrating.
Yeah, and I think you have to remember that even with Caitlin Clark, Iowa needed some heroics to beat Indiana last year. So it's not a disaster in Iowa City by any means. Jan Jensen, I think, feeling her way around in that rotation situation, and watching the game, you know, McCabe hit some threes. But last year, not only would Clark hit a three, but Kate Martin would hit a three. Gabby Marshall would hit a three. And Affolter from time to time. I don't know that you have multiple players that are willing to step up and make a three on this team.
56-41 says Iowa women's fans need to relax. Two problems they're facing, learning to play without Caitlin and trying to figure out how to mesh possibly the most talented freshman class ever with the returning group. And with that being said, Mark, the relaxed parts, when you've had the success that the Iowa women have had the last 2 years and things don't go your way each and every time, people head to the ledges. And that's kind of human nature. But that's what is happening right now.
I think the Iowa women's basketball fan is different. I think they got a taste of the excitement that these women brought to them. A lot of them were around long before Caitlin Clark ever showed up, the fans, that is. And I don't know that they're going to be as fickle as maybe the men's basketball fans. No, they're not going to have the success. They're not going to go to the Final Four. But that brings some excitement to the fans. After all, the Carver Cones are still good, right?
Been told that. 319-366-1600. A lot to take a look at as far as the weekend is concerned. And we're going to get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here. First of all, Mark, before we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, several inquiries about the pick six. Brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. We do not have a winner yet, do we?
We do not. You and Dave have 4 wins. Spencer and I are out of it with 3 wins each. It comes down to tonight's Minnesota-LA Rams game. You pick Minnesota, Dave pick the Rams. And whichever team prevails or covers will win the pick 6.
There you go. Cyclone Tim is rooting for me. I know that with the Vikings here this evening. So we will have a winner and let you know who that is coming up tomorrow. But time to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by our good friends at Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open 4 to 11 Monday through Saturday. A classic local American restaurant right off First Avenue on the southeast side. What do we got today?
The Dallas Cowboys are parting ways with, it's a mutual parting of the ways with head coach Mike McCarthy after the two sides failed to reach a contract agreement. Isaac, right up your alley, Flow Wrestling plans to hold a world-class match February 26th at Extreme Arena in Coralville featuring Olympic silver medalist Spencer Lee of Iowa and Japan's world champion Masanosuke Ono. I think I got that right. Another of the matchups will pit NCAA champions Aaron Brooks of Penn State and Zahid Valencia of Arizona State. Iowa football received a commitment from Bettendorf kicker Caden Burr as a preferred walk-on. Burr kicked a 57-yard field goal last season against Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Former Indiana coach Tom Allen is set to leave Penn State to become defensive coordinator at Clemson. In addition, former Iowa coach Brian Ferentz reportedly will be joining Fresno State staff as an offensive assistant. And finally, Indianapolis police arrested a 55-year-old Texas man over the weekend on charges of stalking Caitlin Clark. He reportedly sent more than a dozen threatening and explicit messages to the former Iowa star.
Don't like to see that. 319-366-1600 at 331. Going to take a break. We'll come back, and we'll be joined by Tim Johnson. Looking forward to talking wrestling with Tim, and we will do that when we come back. You're listening to a Monday edition of the Gym Class. Thanks for joining us. Back with more after this on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we're going to have plenty of sunshine today, but it's going to be cold. Temperatures will be in the teens and wind chills will stay in the single digits due to breezy conditions. Tonight we'll have some clouds building in and a brief period of some very light snow or flurries. By morning, skies will be clear, temperatures will be around zero, wind chills will be in the teens below zero. Tomorrow afternoon we'll then have sunny skies and temperatures in the teens, and we'll get back to the 20s on Wednesday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
When someone is kind enough to share their time with us, we better make it worth their while.
They don't want to do the, people call it the game, right?
Patrick Gaines and Terry Adams of Deary Brothers Ford talk about what Here For You means to them.
You don't have to spend a half a day in our dealership to get that good competitive price. We just want to try to deliver that to you up front.
And that makes me feel good. Makes me proud.
Because that's what people want. They want a fair, honest deal.
As far as the statement Here For You, we want to not just say it, but live it.
Find out what it means to you at Deary Ford in Iowa City.
Did your IT provider break up with you? Or did they raise your managed services rate sky high? I'm sorry to hear that. This is Patty with Network Computer Solutions. At NCS, small businesses are just as important as bigger ones and deserve the same exceptional IT services. Give us a call at 319-247-7223. We'll talk over what you need and how we can help. NCS would be honored to welcome you into our circle. Call today.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quickstar, and Quickstar knows that life is busy, and whether you're craving fresh hot coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab-and-go meal, or a quick snack, they are your go-to for variety, quality, and fast service, and they know value, convenience, and a good experience, which is why our team is all about making your day easier and better, and they can do that with some great specials. As the Weather gets colder. Soup bags on sale every Tuesday. 36 to 40 ounce for $6.99 every Tuesday. Heat those up on those cold winter days. Also, if you're a fan of chicken, 8-piece chicken tenders or bone-in on special every Wednesday for $9.99. And roasted whole chicken today on special for $6.99. Hot and ready for any meal or meal prep. And they've got some great specials going on right now, including the Quickery Snack Pies, 4 ounce, 5 for $5 or $1.49 each, limit 5. Available at your neighborhood Quick Star.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
We're back, 3:35 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Thank you for joining us. Spencer on Sports, next from 4 until 6, and then at 6:30 we'll join up with the Cyclone Coaches Show, 6:30 until 8, and then right after that, immediately following, we'll head to Glendale, Arizona for the final wild card game of the weekend, NFC battle between the Minnesota Vikings and the LA Rams. So keep it right here to 1600 ESPN. And Mark, a friend of yours set to join us here on a Monday.
Yeah, thanks for allowing me to introduce him. He's our next guest, former classmate of mine at Coe College, a couple years older than me, I should say, and a former coach at Mount Vernon. He's put his mark on wrestling for more than 40 years. Perhaps most visibly on the Big Ten Network and ESPN. He's the voice of college wrestling, Tim Johnson, joining us today to talk about a new endeavor. Tim, welcome and thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot. Great to be with you. Yeah, I'm a couple of years older, but we will tell everybody that was 52 and 50 years ago. So there you go. And so I don't think it counts being a couple of years older when it's that long ago. But it's great to be on with you guys, and thanks for having me.
We won't ask what kind of student Mark Dukes was.
Oh, he was one of my heroes because he, you know, he had the golf clubs on his shoulder and, you know, was going out to where I really wanted to be. And he was just a whole lot better golfer than I ever was. But I love the sport.
There you go. Hey, first of all, and also during the introduction that Mark gave, a very nice one, should have said as well, graduate of Morning Sun High School. So salute to the great Morning Sun High School.
Scott, you're endearing yourself to me. I mean, where are you from?
I'm here in Cedar Rapids, so but no, there is no more Morning Sun High School.
No, there isn't, but there's still a award-winning K-6 elementary, and the same guy that was the wrestling coach that started there when I was at Co, John Siegel, who's now at Notre Dame West Burlington, and they're ranked number one, but he started teaching P.E. at Morning Sun in 1973, and he still teaches P.E. there today.
Wow.
Tim, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on, a big reason, is that you are involved with your good friend Jim Miller on a new endeavor with Iowa Public Television. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's really fun for a lot of reasons. Millboy and I go back 50 years. I was a graduate assistant up at UNI, and he came back. We connected, and then when I was at Mount Vernon, he was at Charles City. We had a great rivalry, and then we coached together the national junior team with Coach Dara. And then he and I were each other's best men on our wedding. And now, things come full circle in one sense. I started in, the TV broadcasting in 1986 with Iowa Public Television. And, you know, it was, you know, a tremendous program for so many years. And, we had the college wrestling series that, then ended in 2009 because, I've been with the Big Ten Network since it started. This is my 18th year, but because of the Big Ten Network and, you know, the streaming and everything, Iowa Public Television both did not get the matches, the meets that they we were getting with Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, and so they stopped the college wrestling. And Doug Brooker, longtime producer, since retired, he and I started talking. We said, what if we pitched it to come back to Iowa PBS now? And I said, I just think Iowans and wrestling fans would go crazy to see the small colleges, because these guys are so talented and so good, and the Coes and the Grandviews and the Wartburgs, and they loved it. And so we're kicking off the first year of rebooting college wrestling in the middle of the week for five straight weeks. And we start with a great one this week. Kearney, Nebraska is one of the top Division II teams, and going up against Grandview, which is the top NAIA team. They've won 12 of the last 13 national titles. And then we come your way for Coe and Loras. Then we have the Battle of the Bergs, Wartburg and Augsburg, and then Central at Lutheran. We're going to do a women's meet, William Penn at Grandview to top it off. And Jim Miller, who's won 10 national titles at Wartburg, and his other 10 years, he got second, and now is the director of the Dan Gable Museum and Hall of Fame in Waterloo, and I will be reunited, and we're going to just have some fun really putting the spotlight on small college wrestling.
Well, that's terrific, and you may have to put a seatbelt on Jim, though, when it's Wartburg and Augsburg. He may be wearing orange on that night, I have a feeling.
Well, I'll tell you, Scott, when we asked Dan Gable when he retired to join me, and I went from analyst to play-by-play, and he came over and was my partner, my right arm was so sore from keeping him in his seat, because not only did he jump up, he was my partner for 10 years, and not only did he jump up when I was state, he'd be saying, I think that was three or two for us. And I said, it's not us, it's not we, Dan, it's Iowa, it's Iowa State. And so I got used to doing something like that, and I think you're exactly right, and I'll have to hold Millboy down.
Tim, you, as in your television work, you've witnessed some of the greatest matches in history, but your roots are obviously in the small college of wrestling at Co., and you understand small college wrestling, and perhaps that's one reason that you wanted to do this endeavor.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, there's so many talented wrestlers coming out of high school, especially in the state of Iowa, and we have arguably the best small college sports programs in wrestling. There's nothing better than the small colleges in Iowa, and so, you know, the heart, you're there because you love the sport. We're not going to be a part of any NIL deals, and it's just a tremendous opportunity to put the spotlight on some very, very talented athletes. And Jim Miller was a two-time national Division II champion. UNI was Division II when he was there, and so between my Division III roots at Co., wrestling for Baron Bremner, and then Jim wrestling for Chuck Patton, I think one of the keys, we had conference calls today with the coaches, and one of the things I'm going to really work at is, I just think a key to people enjoying it is nostalgia. And so we'll connect people. So there's a Fort Dodge kid or a Sigourney kid or whatever. We're going to talk about Bill Cole or we're going to talk about Jack Smith. We're going to talk about different people that have come from the schools when they're in Iowa. And I think people will go, oh, yeah, that's when I was in school. And I think they'll like ours, because I think we'll go that direction a lot for this programming.
Yeah. Tim Johnson joining us at 3:43 on a Monday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Going back from the start of Iowa Public Television, Iowa PBS now, and their coverage of wrestling to where wrestling is now, obviously we have the 3-point takedown instead of the 2-point takedown. Maybe we'll get your thoughts on that. Mark Ironside doesn't like it. But anyway, the differences in the sport and how, yeah, it's grown. It's changed like any other college sport, which is, I think, for the most part, good. But college wrestling has changed since the 70s and the 80s, hasn't it?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You brought up the guy that's probably my he's right up there with my favorite all-time college wrestler, and Mark Ironside. And when I try to get at least a call in with Mark once a year, for nothing else, is I just need it's like a syringe of and people think I'm enthusiastic. He makes me look like I'm standing still. And I love his calls. I love his passion. And the way he wrestled, we wouldn't need to change any rules. The rules don't matter because he was always about scoring. And that's why they've changed these different rules. They want more scoring, of course. But one, I like the three-point takedown. I think that, you know, you can be down 9-0 or 9-2, and it's you're never out of it with a takedown and now a four-point near fall. That's 7 points right there. And all of a sudden, if it was 9-2, it's 9-9. I like that. It rewards aggressiveness, and I think it would have. I think Mark would have loved it when he was wrestling, because you know he'd have been done earlier, because it makes for technical falls. 15-point separation happen faster, and so I like that. But there's one thing I would say is one thing that's changed. People ask me, why do the freshmen come in so much better than the old days? And I would say, you know, a couple of things. I would agree with them, and I would say the wrestlers of tomorrow are better than the wrestlers of today. Why? Because of the access. I mean, when you think about that, Iowa Public Television actually had a money-making venture in the late 80s and the early 90s with a VHS subscription. People in Florida, California, they would subscribe, get the VHS of the Iowa State meet 2 weeks later and think they'd gone to heaven. And now with the internet and the access to the best, they can watch the Russians and the best United States wrestlers. They can watch any match that's anywhere out there, so they can study. The training opportunities are more. And so I think the access and the opportunity to get better because of that is the big difference in the last 20 years of wrestling.
Jim, you mentioned the passion of wrestling and Coach Dara, and I wondered if you'd take a couple minutes to talk about your backstory way back to when you were a very young boy and how it describes, you know, your still existing passion for wrestling. I think it's really relatable, not only to small colleges, but all wrestlers, really, all wrestling fans.
Well, what happened, I grew up on a farm in southeast Iowa, just south of Morning Sun, and we'd gotten a brand new riding mower summer of 1960. I was just not quite 7 years old, and it was kind of a antiquated type of thing if you looked at it now, but it was pretty open, small, and I was just a dumb kid, and I had tennis shoes on, and I ran up behind the person that was riding it in the grove there, and I slipped underneath it, and the new blade sliced through my leg, and bone artery nerve sliced right through the knee, and basically took my leg off except for a piece of skin that was having it hang on. And we had a 17-year-old Eagle Scout working for us on the farm for a he reminded me, I just connected with him. He's 81, lives in Scottsdale, and just reconnected with me. And he reminded me my dad paid him $1 an hour, and he worked 60 hours a week. And he came out, looked at my other shoe, took the shoestring out, put a tourniquet on, saved my life, my leg. And so after being in the hospital for 6 weeks in Burlington, I went up to University Hospitals for 8 years straight and had operations. And I'm still walking on the leg today. But as I came to school that fall in first grade in a wheelchair, our PT teacher at the time, that's what it was called then, PE, was Coach Bob Dara. He'd come to Morning Sun to be the football, basketball, track and field and baseball coach from Westmar. And he just looked at me and decided he was going to put courage into me, and he wouldn't let me make any excuses. And then I was on crutches half a year for about 8 straight years, and he'd race me against other people and call me a stud and tell the other guys that I was a lot tougher than them and things like that. And I believed him. And then one day I came back from the University Hospitals, and I'd broken the same leg playing sandlot football 2 years in a row, and they said, Timmy, And I was in sixth grade, and he said, "You can't play football." And I said, "You can't not play football in morning sun for Coach Darrow, or you'd be dead to him," so I thought. And I remember, you know, we played baseball in the summer in Iowa, and I remember coming alongside the third baseline, coming back from Iowa City. I was going to walk up to Coach and tell him I can't play football in high school. And I walked up beside him, and back then you could use paddles with holes in them and PE and the whole bit, and you get smacked around. And he raised up his arms. No, first of all, he said, "Hey, stud, what's going on?" And, of course, I that's progress. And raised up his arm. I thought he was going to hit me or call me something worse than a sissy in front of everybody. And he put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Timmy, as long as you wrestle, you'll be okay." And I'm telling you, I mean, he turned a kid that was likely to go upside down, right side up, and that's when I committed myself to wrestling, 12 years old. I knew right then at 12 I wanted to be a coach because of a coach. And he actually left me in eighth grade then to go to Urbandale and then, of course, to Dowling and the Dynasty. But then we got to hook up again when I was in high school. We coached together, and I got to represent Morning Sun at his celebration of life at Simpson College a few years ago. And so, yeah, the influence, never underestimate the power and influence of a coach. He basically saved my life in so many ways and put courage into me, Mark.
Yeah, well, a great story, a great ending right there. And you mentioned the Iowa, what you guys have with Iowa Public Television now, and that's going to get started. And, of course, still with the Big Ten Network, and great to see what they have done for wrestling around the Big Ten and around the country as well with all the coverage that they provide. And it just gives everybody an outlet to see some of the best wrestling out there.
Well, it really does. And what they did in about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, a new president came in for the Big Ten Network, Francois McGillicuddy, and he just spent a few weeks looking at the numbers. And he came back and he said, "What the heck are we doing? The most loyal viewing audience is wrestling." He says, "We need more wrestling." And they doubled the wrestling. We went to double headers on Friday night, and that's what Jim Gibbons and I were partners for so many years and everything, but we had to split up. And so I'm kind of the old guy mentoring the new guys, a young man named Zach Mackey, who was a University of Iowa grad and now Virginia Tech announcer, but he and I are kind of partners, and then Jim and I and Shane get together for the Big Ten Championships. But Zach and I will be in Iowa City this Friday night for Illinois at Iowa as part of the doubleheader. And so every Friday night, doubleheaders, a couple more during the weekend. And, it's tremendous what they've done there, Scott, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
So the Iowa Public Television coverage begins, what, Wednesday, Tim?
I think it's Thursday. Thursday. And it's going to be 7 o'clock. And of course, it's on the live stream. Besides being on TV, this is different from 30 years ago. It'll be live streamed on Facebook, YouTube, and the station website. And it's Kearney at Grandview. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be fire. First of all, it'll be a packed house. We're doing some special things, giveaways, things like that. And the old guys are going to try to bring some energy. And I think it'll be exciting. And as I have, I guess, famously said, this is something the farmers come in from the chores to see.
Very good. Hey, Tim, best of luck. Good talking with you. Hope to talk with you again soon. And we will appreciate that. And we will see you down the road.
Hey, Scott, I saw you were a disc jockey. What's your favorite music?
Oh.
What did you do when you were a disc jockey? What kind of music?
Oh, back in the day? Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We did a lot of adult contemporary stuff. People, you know, it was for a smaller city before we got into the all sports, but that's what it was.
That's pretty cool, man. I mean, I music and sports, it's pretty cool. And then you throw in Golf for Life and we're doing so. Maybe we can do that together sometime. Guys, thanks a lot for having me on.
Thank you. Best of luck, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
3:53. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up for you after this.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
IBM has entered into a multi-year agreement to become the official fan engagement and data analytics partner of Scuderia Ferrari HP, the most renowned Formula One team, starting in 2025. The partnership brings together two iconic and enduring brands, both driven by a passion for innovation and commitment to progress. IBM and Scuderia Ferrari HP will conceive, develop, and deliver world-class digital experiences to bring racing enthusiasts closer than ever to the racing team, bringing marquee events to life for millions of fans around the world. Sponsored by IBM.
Time out. Your body goals don't have an off season. GNC is ready to help you get a stronger start on the new year with help building more muscle and proven weight loss support. Need a boost? We're ready with GNC vitamins for your longest winter days. Want the best energy drinks? They're at GNC. Never tried creatine before? Get ready to be amazed. GNC coaches are ready to help you in stores everywhere, and you can shop our full collection of flavors and online exclusives at GNC.com. GNC, live well.
3:55, back with you to wrap things up here on the Gym Class. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6. CDG with a shout out to Tim. Wow, morning sun. CDG went to Waco, so they're practically neighbors, Mark.
That'd be Olds, right?
Waco, yeah. Olds, Wayland, and Coppock, I believe. CDG might correct me on that, but I think I got the three Bergs associated with Waco. So good to hear Tim. And yeah, going back brings up a lot of great memories. The one thing, and if we had more time, I would have asked him about was they put together a great celebration show of the highlights of all the years that they had wrestling before it went over to the Big Ten Network and other networks like that. And that was one whale of a show. You talk about highlights and things that'll make your hairs stand up on the back of your neck. That was it.
Yeah, there's so many great highlights, and public television coverage goes back to, I think, the 1970s. Tim joined in the 80s, and yeah, that I saw the same thing, and it's quite a remarkable show.
Isaac, if you can find that somewhere, watch it.
Sounds good. I will. I really liked what he had to say about access too. The fact that wrestling, it's become more accessible than ever, and so I think there are people who really enjoy watching the sport, and this will be really great to highlight, because he also mentioned there's really talented people at the lower levels that deserve that attention as well.
Very much so. Tomorrow we are going to talk a little bit of golf. Looking forward to that and more coming up on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk again tomorrow at 3.
Sounds like a plan. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted it close to town, with a picture window overlooking a yard.